Okay, so we're here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, and we're moving through the Agadah. And today we're going to focus our attention a little bit more on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and its significance. And if you have these pages, then we stopped on page Pei. Okay then? On page Pei. So yesterday we had a whole discussion about Aaron HaKohen and exactly what his calculation, what his svara, what his pshara was. And it was problematic to exactly work out three elements here. Well, one element we know, he was a Navi, but we're not sure exactly how he was a Kohen HaOved, and exactly how he was in the Beis HaMikdash. But today, we want to talk about Torah, the study of Torah, and specifically about the din, the judgment that we will all be facing, Liyasid Lavo, when we go in front of the Kisei HaKavod. And Chazal put an emphasis, number one, on which questions they're going to fire at us when we get to the world to come, when we get after Me'ev Yisrael. And number two, in what sequence will these questions be fired at us? And the impression you get is that the order, the sequence is important. You know, the first question that's being raised is probably the most important. And that's why it's going to be first. Now, a lot of what we're doing here has to do with one particular pasuk, and that pasuk is about Madon. And the basic philosophy of this Agadata is that when you take care of something initially, meaning before it gets out of hand, that's the best protection. If you wait sometimes too long and you delay taking care of the issue, then it's going to really get out of control. So let's see if we can look here at page Pei on the left side, and we're talking about what's called Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, and this is the first stage in the judgment up on high. And the Gemara here in Masechta Sanhedrin identifies the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam as Divrei Torah. That the first thing that we're going to be investigated after Me'ev Yisrael is regarding our dedication to Torah study. So let's see if we can first, before we read some of the insights here, if we can find exactly the place in the Gemara. If anybody could help help me with that, where is it? Did we speak yesterday about the fact that you should, that the judges should be very careful not to hear the arguments of one litigant before the arguments of the other? We didn't get to that yet.
No.
All right, so that's something that we hopefully will get to. We'll get to later on. So let's. If somebody finds this, please point it out to me. In the meantime, I don't want to waste that time. So we'll just get started. Hasifri beParshas Ekev. You know that in Sefer Dvarim, a lot of our understanding of the Torah Shebichsav is based on the Sifri. That's the Medrash on Sefer Dvarim. You know, in Sefer Vayikra, Torah Konim, we have the Sifra, but here we have the Sifri. The Pasuk there says, Vehoya im Shamoah. And the comment of the Sifri is the following: Kishem Shetalmud Gadol Mimase, Kach Ansha Gadol Mimase. So we divide up our avoda, our service of God, into two basic categories. One is called Talmud, and the other is called Maase. And the assumption, the premise of the Sifri, is that Talmud is even greater than Maase. We'll soon see why. And as a result, the Sifri says that our punishment, if we're lax in Talmud, is even greater and more severe than our punishment if we are lax in Maase. So that's the principle here of Gadol Talmud Mimase. And the Sifri quotes our pasuk, the same pasuk that the Gemara here quotes in Sanhedrin. And again, I'm just looking now for the pasuk. Does anybody see it? I don't know why it's eluding me here. I'm not finding it. Just 1 second. Just 1 second. I said it was Zayin Amud Beis. Yeah. Maybe I'm making a mistake and it's Zayin Amud Aleph. Just 1 second. Let's just get this straight here. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, but I'm trying to find it. Nobody sees it?
Depends what pasuk.
Yeah, the pasuk you see right here in front of your eyes on the page, Poter Mayim Reishis Madon, but I just want to see it in the Gemara itself. Poter Mayim, oh, here it is. Yeah, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. So we're looking on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the first of the wide lines. So the mistake I made was that I thought we were on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. That was my mistake. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Hamnuna, ein tchilas dino shel adam nidon ella al divrei Torah. So the first item on the agenda of our post-Yumas judgment in the heavenly court is going to be divrei Torah. Shenemar, and this is based on a pasuk. The pasuk is in Mishlei, and the pasuk says, Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. Now the end of the pasuk is Vilifnei Hisgala Hariv Nitosh. And the Gemara derives from this pasuk that if the water is overflowing, then the first thing you have to do is to stop it up. You put a barrier, you put some sort of a dam, otherwise the water is going to just inundate the field. Okay. Now, how does this pasuk relate to din? Apparently the Gemara understands that the word madon indicates din, and we're talking about the heavenly judgment, Liachar Mev Yisrael. And before the pasuk ends by saying Vilifnei His Gala, means before the beginning of the din, Nitosh. The end of the pasuk says Nitosh. And the Gemara of Rav Hamnuna is interpreting the word Nitosh as Notash Es Limurat Torah. Notash means he not to ignore, he All right, we'll use the word ignore. He ignores limud Torah. Netosh literally doesn't mean to ignore something. Netosh means to abandon. Oh, okay, that's a good word. So it means he abandons Esek HaTorah. So the Rashis Madov means the beginning of judgment is a result of someone who's poter mayim. Mayim is going to be a reference here, a symbol of Torah. And since he did not he abandoned the Esek HaTorah, therefore he will be judged. And the Sifri says that the judgment for being laid back about Torah is even more severe than the judgment on Maaseh. Perhaps we can understand this statement of the Sifri based on Rabbeinu Yonah. In his greatest work, perhaps, is Shari Tshuva, and he writes the following. Amru Razal, the Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin, Talmud Torah keneged kulon, which means if you put Talmud Torah on one side of the scale, and all the other 612 on the other, Talmud Torah would outweigh all the other mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yonah now quotes the Sifri, the Amru B'Sifri, Kishem Sheschar Talmud Torah Gadol Mikol HaMitzvahs. Okay, that part of the Sifri we didn't have. But if the reward for Torah study is greater than all the other mitzvahs, Kach, in the flip side, Onesh Bitul Torah, if a person has the opportunity and he abandons the Torah, that's called Bitul Torah, Gadol, the punishment is greater than all the Averos. Now Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. He has a proof to support the Sifri. And that is, V'chein matzinu b'bayis rishon, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? After all, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the Jews were guilty of the most severe crimes, the three cardinal sins. But yet, Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God would have overlooked even these severe cardinal sins, but Velo Vita, what he wasn't willing to waive, so to speak, W-A-I-V-E, was the Avon, the Avera of Bittul Torah. How do we know this? From Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Because Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself asks the question, why were the Jewish people sent into exile? Alma of the Haaretz. And the answer was, Vayomer Hashem, God gave the answer, Al Ozvam Es Torasi, which according to Rabbeinu Yonah means that they were negligent about the study of Torah. And it would seem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to be Mavater on all the other serious Averos Chamuros, but not on the Avera of Bittul Torah. Which means that Bittul Torah is punishable in a more severe way than even the most severe of the Averos. Now perhaps we could find a source for this, not only in the Sifri, but also in our Gemara of Rav Hemnuna, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Divrei Torah. Now, why is Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Divrei Torah? Because the severity of this violation is greater than all the others. Ubisifri Yolif Mehachra, the Onesh Shel Bittul Torah Gadol Mi Yoseh Mi Shar Averos. Both the Sifri and Rav Hemnuna here in our Gemara are learning the same pasuk in Mishle. The Sifri derives from this pasuk that the Onesh for Bittul Torah is greater than all Averos. And Rav Hemnuna says that the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam is going to be for this Avera. And why? Both the Sifri and the Talmud and the statement of Rav Hemnuna are based on the same principle. And that is that Gadol Torah is even greater than Maaseh. And therefore we said that Talmud is greater than all the other mitzvahs. It's shakul keneged kulon, and therefore the punishment for ignoring the Torah is a very severe punishment. Ultimately, it led to the final decision of exile. And when we get to the Olam HaEmes, then the first item on the agenda for our judgment is going to be Talmud Torah. So that's the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam. Now, this all fits into our Gemara. However, the Gemara in Shabbos, when it goes through the questions that will be asked, interrogation in the heavenly court, it has a different sequence. Amar Rava, b'shosh machnisim adam ledin. Amar Rava, the first question we asked him is not Torah, but rather nasasa v'nasata be'muna, which means where your business deals on the up and up, were they honest? And then we ask him, kavata itim l'Torah. So the second question, not the tchilas adin, is Torah. So Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos wants to see how we reconcile the Gemara of Rava in Shabbos with the Gemara of Rav Emnuna in Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin says that the first question to be asked, the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, is Divrei Torah. Whereas Rava in Shabbos says the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam will be Nasata Be'emuna. Only the second question will be regarding Torah. The Eshlomar, the Gemara Kan Airi, there are two types of people, and depending upon which station of life, which category you belong to, the judgment will reflect that. Here, in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Gemara is talking about Dayanim, it's Misha Toroso Umnoso. We're addressing someone who's taken upon himself to dedicate himself exclusively to the study of Torah. V'eino Osek B'masuman. He's not involved in business deals. He's a full-time kolnik. The day with regard to such a person, Tchilas Dino B'divrei Torah, we're not going to ask him about his business dealings. He's not a businessman. However, the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about a person who's Osek B'malacha, and then we want to know, first of all, was he reliable, was he honest in his business dealings? And then, number two, Kavata Itim La Torah. We're not going to ask him whether or not he studied Torah exclusively Yomam Valayla, day and night. We're going to ask him, did he set aside time during the day for the study of Torah? And the rest of the day he's obviously dedicating to work. And therefore the Seder, the order of the two questions is going to be different. So that every Jew is required vis-a-vis Talmud Torah with as a bare minimum of kvius itim l'Torah. And by the way, I'm sure you know this, the poskim say that when you kofer eis l'Torah, it means shutting off all your phones. What I mean that symbolically. What I mean to say is cutting yourself off. You know, no one should be disturbing you. You know, you may get an emergency call. I mean, there are all sorts of famous stories about people who really took a serious loss financially, but because they didn't want to interrupt their Torah studies. So that's a very high madriga, but that's called Kavata Itim La Torah. And Kavata Itim La Torah doesn't only mean that you designate time for the study of Torah, but it means that you're absolutely committed to that time once you dedicate it. Okay. Now, where in Shas do I find this concept that Talmud Torah is greater than Maaseh? That's a statement of Rabbi Akiva in Kiddushin Daf Mem Amud Beis. Talmud Gadol Mi Maaseh, Sha Talmud Mevi Lidei Maaseh. So in the hierarchy, Talmud is first and is greater than Maaseh, because without Talmud, it's impossible to have Maaseh. And then the Gemara says, Kishem shal limud kodem l'maaseh, kach dino, the din, the judgment on limud, on study, is kodem l'maaseh. Kidder Rav Hamnuna, the Gemara quotes our sugya in Sanhedrin, the Omer Rav Hamnuna, ein tchilas dino shal adam, ela al divrei Torah. Now, it's interesting. We've been talking about Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, that Torah is superior, and therefore it's the first question on the list because it's Toraso Umnaso. We're talking about someone on a very, very high level. And that seems to reflect the superior status of Torah as a mitzvah because, as Rabbi Kiva says, Gadol Torah Amevi Lidei Mas. So let's see if we can make a connection between the following two categories, the following two descriptions. One is a person who's Toraso Umnaso, he's dedicated exclusively to Torah. And number two, the concept of studying the Torah, because that's the prerequisite, Hamevi Lidei Mas. He says the following, Nireh Me'agamara, it would seem from the Sugya in Kiddushin, the Yesod HaDavar, fundamentally, Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, man's first judgment will be Al Talmud. And why? This is all one statement of the Gemara, that after we establish that great, how great Talmud is, it's Mevili Deimas, and then we've established that Tchilas Dino Al HaTorah. And here we go on to page Pei Aleph. You don't have that?
No.
Ooh. That's painful. No, I tell you why, because I don't want to lose the time.
Okay.
So we'll see how to do this. Okay? So again, Talmud is great because it's Mevili De Masa. So what we'll do is we'll finish this paragraph and then, you know, I'll be able to fast forward while we take a break for photo. It means that without Talmud, we won't be able to achieve Masa. Because he can only do what he knows, and if he hasn't studied, how can he do it? So Tchilas Dino is al Torah, because without Torah there's no mas. Now he quotes Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musa movement. He lived at the beginning of the 1800s, in the middle of the 1800s, and he writes the following, that Talmud Torah has two different dimensions to it. If you like to write notes, this is really kedai. Number one, he calls it Limud Torah, and number two, Yediyas HaTorah. One is the actual study, and the other is acquiring knowledge of Torah. And there are two different sources for these two different mitzvos. The source for the mitzvah of Limud Torah is a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, V'igisa bo yomam v'laila. And what it means is, says Rabbi Yisrael, Kol Masha Lomed is Mekayim HaMitzvah Saseh, all the learning that he does, and we'll soon see what that means, all the learning that he does, is a fulfillment of V'igisa bo yomam v'laila. Hey Mikra, when he reads the Torah Shebichsav, O Mishnah, O Agadita, V'afal gavdil o yochol lifsog din, he cannot derive any halachic conclusions mitoch Mikra, Mishnah, or Agada. B'cholzos yotze yidei mitzvahs limud haTorah. So limud haTorah from V'gisabo is not related to Masa, because there's no way that you can determine the Masa based on Limud Torah, which includes Mikra, Mishnah, and Agadah. However, he says the Geder HaSheni, the other dimension of Mitzvah's Talmud Torah, which is Yediyas HaTorah, that has a different source. That's based on the pasuk Vishinantam Livanecha, and Chazal say that, what does it mean, Vishinantam? Sheyu divrei Torah mechudadim beficha. Anytime they ask you a question, you'll be able to give an answer to the question. So it means, number one, Rochesh Bekius, he now has acquired a great deal of Torah knowledge. Vishenis, and number two, Hayecholes, he now has the possibility, Lishakim b'Torah, he knows how to analyze the Torah, and as a result of this level of Yediyas HaTorah, he knows not just the Gemara But he even knows the poskim, because the poskim are going to analyze how we apply the principles of the Gemara to various cases. And then he writes, "V'tachlis hamitzvah shel yediyas haTorah." The ultimate goal of yediyas haTorah is sheyeda eich lekayem es haTorah v'samitzvos. So again, the first element of Igisa Bo is the actual involvement in the Torah, in Torah study, even if that Torah study has no, shall we say, practical implications. You cannot come to any conclusions. But the Torah says, V'gisa bo. You should dedicate yourself to the study of Torah, and that includes every part of Torah. Even parts of Torah, Mikra, Mishnah, and Agada, which clearly have no basis for Maaseh. The second element of Talmud Torah, which is derived from Vishinantam Levanecha, is Yediyas HaTorah. And the ultimate completion of this mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah is the ability to answer questions, to analyze, to know the poskim. And Yediyas HaTorah means you'll know Eich Lishmar Ulekayim Es HaTorah. Okay. Now let's go back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Gemara in Kedusha was Gadol Talmud Hamevi Lidei Maaseh. So which dimension of Talmud Torah, from the perspective of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, would Rabbi Akiva be referring to when he says that Talmud is great because it's Mevi Lidei Maaseh? Is he talking about Limud Torah, or is he talking about the mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah? It's Yediyas HaTorah, because again, Yediyas HaTorah means to know the Gemaras and the principles and the poskim, and to be able to know how to fulfill the mitzvahs. Therefore, Gadol Talmud HaMevi Lidei Maaseh, meaning without Talmud, there's no way you can come to Maaseh. You have to know the Torah. That's called Yediyas HaTorah. Now, let's go back now to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rav Hemnuna. Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Al Divrei Torah means for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The first question we're going to be asked is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Which dimension of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah are we talking about? So we said, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, that we're talking about Gadol Talmud, and maybe they might say that the reason why the very first question they're going to ask you is about Talmud Torah is because Torah is great, that it brings you the Masa. Well, which dimension of the two dimensions of Rabbi Yisrael are we referring to? Yediyas HaTorah, not Limud HaTorah, but Yediyas HaTorah. So the first question they're going to ask you is about Yediyas HaTorah. They're going to quote the pasuk Vishinantim Levanecha, which means you Divrei Torah Mechudada Meficha, that if anybody asks you a question, you don't have to stutter, you'll know the answer because you have a complete control and you've mastered the Torah, all the way up to Kiyum HaMitzvos, all the way up to the poskim. And that's going to be the question that we ask at the beginning of judgment. And it's going to be the very first question that we ask, according to Rav Hemnuna. And the Gemara in Shabbos bases this on the statement of Rabbi Akiva of Gadol Talmud HaMevi Lidei Maaseh. So the first question from the perspective of the Gemara in Sanhedrin that's going to be addressed to you will be Yediyas HaTorah. But now we get to the statement of Rava. If you remember, Rava says the first question we're going to ask you is Nasata V'Nasata Be'emuna. You know, how are your business dealings? And only the second question is going to be about Torah. That's called Kavata Itim LaTorah. Which dimension of Talmud Torah and the two dimensions of Limud and Yediyah is Rava referring to? What do you say? He's referring not to Yediyas HaTorah, but rather to Limud HaTorah. And within the perspective of Limud HaTorah, the pasuk in Yoshua says Yomam V'Laila. What does Yomam V'Laila mean? Set aside time, an interval of time during the day, and another interval of time at night. And that's the mitzvah of Igisa Boyom V'Laila. That's not going to be Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, because here we're talking only about the mitzvah of Limud Torah, but that doesn't make Talmud Torah the greatest of all mitzvahs. What makes Talmud Torah the greatest of all mitzvahs is Gadol Talmud HaMevi Lidei Maaseh. That's why the first question here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is going to be about Talmud Torah. There we're referring to Yediyas HaTorah. Yediyas HaTorah is superior to all mitzvahs because you cannot fulfill the mitzvah without Yediyas HaTorah. So the first question they're going to ask you is about Yediyas HaTorah. But the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, which might be addressing the case of a person who's not Toroso Umnaso, right? He doesn't have the ability to dedicate himself to Yediyas HaTorah, but nevertheless, he's committed to the mitzvah of what? of Liwud HaTorah, which means V'gisa bo yom v'layla. He has to be koveh itim LaTorah. That's not going to be the first question they ask him. The first question is about his main preoccupation, which is in business dealings. If he did that,
that's Yigiyas HaTorah. If he's able to do his business properly, then he has to have had Yigiyas HaTorah.
Well, he doesn't have to have Yedias HaTorah of all the poskim so they can answer all questions. He'll have to consult with his local rabbi, but at least he knows that there are going to be issues here about honesty. You know, he has an intuitive sense about, you know, not lying and falsifying the truth. You know, in many cases when people start marketing their products, you know, they fudge it a little bit, and that's an understatement. There are other types of scandals and so forth and so on. So he has to avoid that. And that requires Nasata V'Nasata V'Emunah. So at this point, we're going to alleviate him from his very severe responsibility, the very heavy responsibility of Yediyas HaTorah, and therefore we're not going to ask this question about Torah as the first question on the list. That we're going to reserve for someone who has the ability to achieve Yediyas HaTorah, to know the breadth of Torah, to analyze the Torah, to answer any questions. That's for Shinan Tom Levanecha. That's Yediyas HaTorah. That's for a very select section of the sector of the population. But as far as the general populace is concerned, of Nasata Be'emunah, there the second question is going to be Kavata Itum LaTorah, which is the mitzvah of Liwud HaTorah of V'Higisa Bo Yomam V'Layla. So Rav Osai, what we have here in this very great presentation, and maybe at this point, you know, I would ask somebody to photocopy this page, if you don't mind.
Just one page.
Right now, just one page, because I can't give you the second page, because otherwise I can't continue in saying the Shia. But what we have now is a brilliant answer to Tosis's question. Let's go over Tosis's question here on page Pei on the bottom, which you do have. Tosis says, I don't understand. The Gemara in Kiddushin quotes Rava. I'm sorry, the Gemara in Shabbos quotes Rava as saying that the first question that we ask you is going to be Nasata V'Nasata Be'emunah. And it's only the second question that's going to be Kavata Itim LaTorah. Here in Sanhedrin, Rav Hamnuna says the first question they're going to ask you, Tchilas Dinu Shel Adam, is on Divrei Torah. So perhaps we can answer the question of Tosus by saying, based on Rav Yisrael, that there are two dimensions of Talmud Torah, derived from two different sources, and they apply in an unequal way, uneven way, to different sectors or categories of the population. And that is that Rav is talking about a person who's going to be taken to task over the Gisa Boyoma Valila, and therefore his question is going to be Kavata Itim LaTorah, and that's the mitzvah of Gisa Boyoma Valila of Limud Torah, whereas Rav Hamnuna in our sugya is talking about a great scholar who's dedicating his time to exclusively to the study of Torah. He's expected to reach the highest level of Torah, which is not Limud HaTorah, but rather Yediyas HaTorah. And therefore, we're going to ask him at the beginning of the din this question about Yediyas HaTorah, because Gadol Talmud Amevili Deimasa, the greatness of Talmud above and beyond all the other mitzvahs, is that Talmud gives you the insight into all the mitzvahs HaTorah. And without Talmud, without what we're talking about, Yediyas HaTorah, if he doesn't know the poskim, he won't be able to deal with all the myriad of questions and issues that arise in Psak HaLocha. So that requires Yediyas HaTorah. The Gemara in Shabbos of Rav, on the other hand, is addressing a person who's taken to task for Limud HaTorah, hence V'Gisabo Yom HaLayla Kavata Itim LaTorah. Did you set time intervals for the study of Torah? A brilliant answer to a question of Tosfos. Now, if we go on in our Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, we're going to see a discussion about Maya Litzinora. And again, the idea is going to be that that a person has to take care of a problem before it gets out of hand. Amar Rav Hamnuna, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Huna, So this is the second of the wide lines of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Hai Tigra. Tigra is what's called an altercation, some sort of controversy between two opponents. And Damyo Litzinora can be compared, Damyo means Viloshan Dimyon, to a Tzinora, to a pipe that burst, to Bidka Demaya. And as a result of this Bidka Demaya, let's say there was a dam that was holding back the water, if there's a crack in the dam, the water is going to flow and inundate all the fields around it. And that's called Keva de Ravach Ravach. If you don't take care of it immediately, then it's going to break the entire barrier. The entire dam is going to just fall apart and the water is uncontrollable. So basically, what we're talking about is this concept of Poter Mayim Reishis Madon, that before the water inundates, before it gets out of control, make sure that you take care of it. Take care of it immediately. So Rashi says that im eino sosma miyad, if you don't take care of it immediately, holechu marchiv vishuv eino sosmo, and then he won't be able to close it off. Now, this may shed a light on a parsha in Lech Lecha about Roi Avram and Roi Lot. If you remember, the Torah records that Avram turns to Lot, and this is when Lot is going to separate from Avram, and he says, Al na tehi meriva beini ubeincha ubein roi ubein roecha. There shouldn't be some sort of a dispute between me and you, and between our shepherds and my shepherds and your shepherds. Now, that is Pasuk Ches. If you go back to Pasuk Zion, the previous Pasuk, it says, the Torah records, that the dispute was between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. Here, in the very next Pasuk, Avram is saying there shouldn't be a dispute, a friction between me and you. So let's use the logic of our Gemara to explain what happens here. What Avram is worried about is that even though the beginning of the water exploding is a fight, is a dispute between the Roim, but nevertheless, if they don't take care of that immediately, it's going to broaden, it's going to expand, and ultimately there's going to be friction between Avram and Lot. And here he quotes one of the greatest Tanoim that ever lived. His name was Azariah. And in the Medrash, Rabbi Azariah says the following: Kishem shehaya riv bein roi Avram ubein roi Lot, kach, just like the shepherds fought, haya riv bein Avram lelot. And that's why Avram says, Al na tehi meriva beini ubeinecha. So this is the Medrash in the name of Rabbi Azariah. Perhaps Rabbi Azariah is built on this Gemara that we learned here about High Tigra de Maya, that if you don't take care of this dispute at the very beginning, you go back to what they call Tipul Shoresh. I don't want to mention the dentist here, but in any event, then what's going to happen is it's going to spread. And that's called Tchilas HaTigra. The beginning of the dispute is between the Roim, but then it spreads to even Avram Velot. Now it could be that Avram is just warning Lot. There wasn't really a dispute between the two of them. He's just saying, Al na tehi, let's nip this in the bud before it gets out of hand. Shem lo nistom v'nafsik hariv miyad, if we don't take care of it immediately and work out some sort of a compromise deal, then it's going to broaden, and then the Tigra de Maya is going to just completely inundate the field, and it's going to have an impact on us as well. Now let's go on in the Gemara, and there's a statement here of Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, let's see if we can find Rabbi Yonasan. If anybody finds it, please let me know. Just one second.
You jumping?
Yeah, I'm jumping just because I want to go through the Gemara. Yeah, so we went through the Gemara itself already. We'll do it again tomorrow, but I just want to finish up on the Gemara Yitzchak today.
Bottom of Zion after the two dots.
Okay, how many lines is it
one
up from
line the two dots?
From the bottom going up, it's about 10 lines. Would you say Om Rav Yonasan?
Nine lines.
Okay, Kol Dayan.
Oh yeah.
You have it, Kol Dayan, any judge. Shenotel Mizeh V'Nosein Lazeh Shalo Kedin. Now the two ways of interpreting this. If you take it literally, it sounds like the Dayan is taking it with his own hand, so to speak. He's taking money out of the pocket of Reuven and putting it into the pocket of Shimon. Shalom Kedin, against the law. Meaning, he falsified the judgment. Is if he does such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu notel mimenu es nafsho. That's a capital crime. And he will lose his nefesh. Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, al tigzol dol, don't steal from the poor, ki dolhu, v'al tidake ani b'sha'ar. And we're talking about the sha'ar, which means the gate, and that refers to the gate of judgment. And at the end of this pasuk in Mishlei, Hashem warns, ki Hashem yariv rivam, v'kava es kov'eyem nafesh. The word nafesh here refers to life. In other words, as a result of this situation, which the judge is responsible for taking money out of the pocket of Reuven and putting it in the pocket of Shimon, that's called gzela. The nefesh will be taken away. V'hine dayan sheta. If the dayan made a mistake, shalo nasa v'nasan biyad. Why did Rav Yonasan say that he was notel mizeh v'nosein lazeh? Why did Rav Yonasan just say that he handed down an erroneous judgment? Well, that's not enough. Why? Because the Torah here is talking about al tigzol dal, gzela. Therefore, Rav Yonasan was very meticulous about saying that we're talking about notel mizeh v'nosein lazeh. If he made a mistake in judgment, then he can be held responsible for compensation based on the laws of a mazik, someone who caused damage and loss to someone, but he's not a gazlan. But if he actually takes the money from the hands of one person, v'nosei v'nosan biyad, is then he's chayev not just because of a mazik, but on top of that, he becomes a gazlan. And basically, the very moment he lifts up the money from Reuven and he hands it over to Shimon, the very moment he the Dayan lifts it up, he is kone bigzela. And if you look in the Yamshel Shlomo in the first parak of Bava Basra, in the first of the two prakim at the end of Bava Kamma, which is called Hagozel Basra, the second Hagozel, excuse me. So he writes that according to Rabbi Yonasan, only in the case of Natal Mizev and Asan Lizev, that he's a gazlan, and on that the pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is kovei koveim nefesh. That's the shita of the Yamshel Shlomo. Now again, I'm not sure. Maybe you know the answer to this question. Why is the Dayan taking the money and passing it over? But have we discussed yet the kalim? The utensils of the Dayan?
No,
we didn't get to that yet. Alright, so when we get to the Gemara about the Kalim of the Gazlan, we'll soon see, the Kalim of the Dayan, we'll soon see that the Dayan actually has to implement the final verdict. Like, for example, if he decides based on the testimony that Reuven is Chayv Malkus, then he has to make sure that, you know, he has to take his stick or a strap, whatever it is, and he has to mete out the Malkus or give it over to a Shliach to do that. So too it could be that in a monetary case, he actually has to mete out the final verdict and he has to take the money from one end to the other. But in this case, if he is doing so Shalom Kedin, then the very moment he picks up Reuven's money, he's Kona, he makes a Kenyan of Zayin. Now at this point, we're going to fast forward to Daf Zayin of Beis. Again, I'll fill in all the missing pieces of Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow. We know that. And we're going to look for a Gemara about Boker. Let's see if we can find that. Just one second. Yeah, here it is. Darash Rav Oshia. So if you're on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, you count down five lines. Darash Rav Oshia, V'item Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. A pasuk in Yirmiyah. What does the pasuk say in Yirmiyah? It says, Beis David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dino Leboker Mishpat. Which literally means that the judgment should be Boker. Boker means with the beginning of the morning. No, the day has morning and it has afternoon. The time for judgment is the morning. V'itzilu gozel miyad oshek, and your purpose in judgment is to save the person who's going to be, you know, he's going to be ripped off, as we say in colloquial English. He'll be money stolen from him, and you have to protect him. So Rabbi Oshi asks the obvious question: V'chiba boker danin? Is the time for judgment in the morning? V'chol ayom enom danim? He asks a rhetorical question, and the rest of the day, the balance of the day, is not a time that's appropriate for judgment. What's the idea of la boker? Now, the word la boker is loosely translated in our English into morning, but that's not really what the word boker means. If you go back to the Shoresh, to the root of the word boker, it's livaker. Livaker means to distinguish, to take two things that look similar and distinguish one from the other. Actually, we'll have it in this week's parsha in Korach. But in any event, so that's the word boker. Ela says Rav Oshia, im bar lecha dover ki boker. What does boker mean? If you're able, with a clarity of vision, of light, you know, during the morning there's an intense light, and therefore you're able to distinguish between two objects that look similar. Here too, in the case of judgment, Amrehu, you should say what you have to say, meaning you should deliver your verdict if the verdict is clear to you, like boker, like the morning. But in lav, if you're confused about it, then you recuse yourself. Al tomruhu, pull yourself out of the judgment. Now this pasuk is in Sefer Yirmiyah, and the super commentary amongst the Rishonim on Yirmiyah, again Rashi is Rashi, but in the Rishonim it's the Radak, and the Radak says that there's a very simple pshat to this pasuk, which completely resolves the problem of Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia doesn't understand how you judge in the morning and not in the afternoon. That's not what this pasuk is about. The Radak says, Pirush, what it means, Dino, judge, la boker, means, Kodim shetis asku b'achilu shsiyo dover mitzarchechem, teshvu b'mokom hadin. Right, the court should be open, and the judges should be sitting in their places, ready for the first case to come in front of them, with boker, with daybreak. And the dayan should not be spending his time eating and drinking. Again, if nobody comes in for din, you know, then he could take a break, go into the back room and eat his breakfast. But he has to make sure that he's situated with boker, with the morning, in the place, teshru b'makom din, with his judgment. And why is that so important? Ladun kol misha yovo litzok. Right, the pasuk is worried about someone who is gazul, lahatzil gazul mead oshko. You know, sometimes it's absolutely urgent. Let's say, for example, if a person is being, he's being what's the word I want to use? If he's the victim of some sort of a theft in the generic way of theft. You know, somebody is taking his money away. Then, in such a case, if he doesn't get an immediate judgment, it could be that that person who's guilty here of theft could fly the coop. You know, he could take a plane to the Far East. So sometimes it's critical. So it's very important. That's what the Radak interprets this pasuk in Yirmiyah, that the judge ala boker, as soon as it's the earliest time for judgment, he should situate himself exactly there. And the Radak proves this from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the very same word boker, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not involved in eating and drinking. He didn't tend to his own needs because he wanted to be there available for the first litigant to come in. Is Lefima Shekosa Radak My Parakha Gemara, what's the Gemara asking that he has to, why does he have to do judgment in the morning? Why doesn't he do judgment the whole day? Why does the Pasuk Yirmiyah emphasize Boker? And based on this Kasha, Rav Ashi reinterprets the word Boker as a reference to clarity of understanding. You could circumvent the whole thing. We're talking about Boker meaning literally Boker. You'll ask me, do you have to emphasize Boker? The whole day is kosher l'din. But the answer is no. That already with Boker, the Torah says, Din ola Boker means sit in the place of Din, Boker, to make sure that the Guzzle will be saved miad oshko. Now, Rabosa, we're on page Pei Beis. And he quotes the Mechilta in Parshas Yisro. The pasuk says, "Vayeshev Moshe lishpodes ha'am, vayamod ha'am al Moshe min aboker viada erev." And the Mechilta asks the following question: "Vechimen aboker ada erev, vayam Moshe donis Yisrael, valo ein donim hadayonim ela ad zman seuda." Now, again, today we eat the main meal when? I mean, in some countries. At night, correct?
Right, correct.
If you in Europe, I don't know if it's still the case, but at least it used to be so. And back in the time of Chazal, they ate the main meal in the middle of the day. Let's call it 1 p.m. or so, or 12 noon at that point. So the Mechilta establishes that the latest time for judgment is what's called Zman Seuda. Not only is this a Mechilta in Parshas Yisro, it's also a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud. Ein donim ela ad zman seuda. If somebody has a chance to open up the Gemara in Shabbos for me, that would be a great chesed, but we'll accept it now on blind faith. So the Gemara now in Sanhedrin that we're learning is very problematic. The Gemara says, kol hayom donim. Well, why are you pressing din into morning? He has the whole day. Which means until sunset. Well, that's not really true. He has up until Zman Seuda. Does everybody follow the discrepancy here between what we know as the latest point of Din and our Gemara, which says Kol Hayom, implying that you could go on and judge until evening? So in order to answer this question, we're going to open up the Rambam. And what we're going to try to determine, my friends, this is a very interesting discussion, is when does Boker end and when is the Zman Seuda? If those two are in sync, meaning they are at the same moment, then our Kasha is an unanswerable Kasha. Because, in truth, the latest time for judgment is the end of Boker. But if I can prove to you that Boker ends, let's say, at 11 a.m., and Zman Seuda is at 12 p.m., then there's no Kasha. Because when the Gemara says, Kol Hayom, the Gemara means even beyond Boker. That's the point of the Gemara. So that's what we want to analyze in the Rambam. The Rambam writes at Emos Ayoshmin Adayonim Bidin, when is the latest time for judgment? And the Rambam answers, Me Achar Tfilas Ashachar Ad Sof Sheish Shos Biyom. Now, in order to answer the question, when does Boker end, we're going to open the laws of Tfilah. Right, we have three tefillos during the day, and the first tefillah, which is the early, that's called tefillah shachar, that ends with the end of Boker. So we're going to identify the conclusion of Boker with the conclusion, the last moment for the Amida, the Shmon Esrei of shachar. And guess what? Here's where we find the difference between Din, which is called Zman Seuda, when Din ends, and when Shachris ends. Shachris, according to one Mandi Omer in the Gemara, this is the fourth parak of Brachos, ends in the fourth hour. So let's say, for example, in a perfect day that starts at 6 a.m. So you have 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10. At 10 a.m., that's when, by 10 a.m. you have to have Davin Shachris. That's the end of Boker. According to another Mandi Omer, we're gonna set up another hour, we're going to give you until the beginning of the sixth hour, which means the beginning of 11 a.m., so you have another hour. And therefore Shachar ends at the beginning of the sixth hour, which would be on a perfect day at 11 a.m. However, even though Boker ends at 11 a.m., and the Pasuk says Ke'or Boker, nevertheless, Din continues until when? Zman Suda. Zman Suda, says the Rambam, is Sof Sheishos. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam said, Ad Emosai Yoshma Dayonim, and the Rambam says, Me'achar Tfilas HaShachar. He doesn't say till the beginning of the sixth hour. In fact, I think the Rambam passing is like the Mandiyom, who says four shows. I have to look that up. But he says, Ad Sof Sheishos. So that's what the Gemara means to ask over here. V'chi Boker Donim, meaning they have to get in the judgment up until 11 a.m. until the end of Boker, which is the end of Tefillah Shachar. No, Kol Hayom, even beyond that piece. Again, it's a little bit of a stretch here, because we understood that Kol Hayom ends the entire day. He's now interpreting Kol Hayom means beyond Boker, which in this case means Ad Zman Hasuda, which is until the end of the sixth hour, which is 12 noon. The Gemara tells us a story now about Rav Huna. When Rav Huna was ready for judgment, this is the third of the wide lines on Dav Zayin Amid Beis, Michnaf means he gathered together, he assembled, Umaisi, and he brought Asara Rabbanan, Mibay Rav. So he went into the yeshiva, and he gathered together 10 students. So how many judges would now sit on the case? 11. We always need an odd number. And the Rambam says that this is a great idea. The only problem is, the Gemara explains why Rav Huna did this, and the Rambam explains why it's a good idea, and they're two different explanations. And we have no way of reconciling the Rambam with this Gemara. The Gemara says that why did Rav Huna do such a thing? Omar, he declared, Ki hechi delimtayon shiba mikshura, which means that if the ceiling starts collapsing, let's say, you know, they had wooden beams, so little parts of the wood would start falling apart, you know, if it was a little dilapidated, then it would fall amongst all the people. I would only get a little part of what fell. You know, you spread the damage, so to speak. So Rav Huna says the following, that I'm afraid that maybe my judgment will not be a correct judgment, and therefore I'll be punished for this. But if I have another 10 people, then the punishment is going to be equally distributed amongst the 11 of us. I'll only get 1/11 of the punishment. The Rambam has a whole different explanation, and he writes the following: Perek Beis Milchas Sanhedrin. Afal Pisha Bezdin Shel Shlosha Bezdin Sholem Hu. Even though the Torah has no questions about a Bezdin of three judges, nevertheless, Kol Zman Shehem Rabim, the more judges that you have, Hareza Mishubach, that's laudatory, that's preferable. And why? So the Rambam explains why. Why do you want to add judges when you don't need more than three judges? Mutav Sheyachtoch Hadin. The Rambam puts it all on what's called Chituch Hadin. Let's explain what Chituch Hadin means. Literally, to slice it with a very sharp knife. In judgment, there's so much ambiguity. In other words, you know, we have, like, in a day we have daylight, we have nighttime, but in between we have what we call Bein HaShmashos, which is, I think in English you could call it twilight, right? I think the scientists say that the most accidents that happen in driving is during that period of time. It's what we call in Yiddish Nishtaher and Nishtahin. It's not here or there, it's not day or night, it's like really confusing. The eye can't see well. That's what Din is all about. You know, the two litigants and their lawyers, again, we don't advocate in favor of lawyers, but they each put forward such a great presentation with all the evidence and all the you know, the support for their respective claims, that it gets very confusing. So what we need is Chituch Hadin. The phrase Chituch Hadin means to slice it with a very sharp knife, to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. So let me ask you the following question. If Rav Huna takes 11, and the Rambam says Mutav, that he should take 11 Bacharas or Yosef Asara, so the Rambam is certainly referring to our Rav Huna, otherwise it would be totally coincidental that the Rambam advocates adding 10 judges to get to the one and getting to the number 11. Why does Rav Huna advocate in favor of getting a judgment of 11 judges rather than 3 judges? Is it because he's afraid of the responsibility and therefore the punishment in case of error? Or is it because the judgment will be more precise? And what's the answer to that question? It all depends. Yes. If you're talking about the Gemara says that he wanted to share the responsibility and hence the punishment. If you're talking about the Rambam, he wanted to improve the accuracy and the precision of the Beis Din. That's called Chituch HaDin. So he says the following, Tzorach Iyud. Nira to Rambam, the Rambam seems to indicate Hatova. What's the benefit of adding Dayanim? Is Kedei She is Barer Tve? We want more clarity. Like we said before, it's got to be clear as day. V'yeh, therefore, it'll be Din Lamito. But the Gemara, on the other hand, says that the reason why we want to take more judges, Kedei She is Chalik HaOnish Bein HaNoshim Bein HaDayanim. In other words, when the roof collapses, you know, each one of us will suffer only 1/11th. Of the punishment. Okay, Rabbosai, now we're going to end the shiur. I just want to make sure that we can indicate where we're up to as far as the Gvuras Yitzchak is concerned, and this is the very last piece in his analysis of the Agadata, I think, at least here on Daf Zayin, correct? Now, what's the last page you have is Pei Beis?
Pei Aleph. We don't have Pei Beis.
Oh, you don't have Pei Beis?
No.
Okay. So let me, Don, do you want to volunteer for this? Or I don't want to impose this on you, but let me give you the following. I'm going to give you the last 4 pages. And you know how to double-side it? Yeah? Great. So let me give you these pages. And if you can go in order and double-side them, make about, how many copies do we need? About 7 copies. And that's what we'll pick up tomorrow. Okay, there, Rabbosai? I wish everyone a great day.